So Dr. Young is with Columbia. He's the director at Columbia University Center for the Center for Family and Community Medicine and the chief of family medicine at New York Presbyterian Columbia Hospital and Columbia University Medical Center. Family and community medicine is working with the university and hospitals to transform their ambulatory services into a patient-centered medical home that addresses the needs of the medically underserved community of Washington Heights in northern Manhattan. Here's Dr. Young.
And actually, I wanted to quickly ask what language I should speak in terms of clinical language, IT language, or health administration language. So are most of us clinicians, providers? Most of us are IT professionals. No, just public health people like me. Okay. Well, I'm a primary care doctor, a family physician, and we launched on an ambitious quest to actually use our hospital's electronic health record for something useful clinically in terms of improving the care that we provide to our predominantly Dominican population in Upper Manhattan. And I'd like to acknowledge my collaborator, Dr. Susan Lin, who is the data geek for our center and is largely responsible for having hunted down all the data that we used for doing these analyses. So background, the adoption of electronic health record systems, as we all know from the literature, has the potential to improve care quality, reduce medical errors, and improve management of patients with chronic conditions. There is a pretty growing adoption of electronic health records by physicians, and 43% reported using an electronic health record according to a National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey a couple of years ago. U.S. hospitals are somewhat behind the curve of physician adoption, and apparently academic medical centers, teaching hospitals, are way behind in terms of electronic health records, with only 18.5% of teaching hospitals reporting adoption. And I think that actually when we talk about adoption of electronic health records, that's the big system that we're all looking for. Many academic medical centers have adopted computerized order entry systems and computerized lab reporting systems, but very few, at least at the time of this survey, had actually gone the next step to actually have the electronic record sort of integrated and across the continuum of care. So our objective was to describe how an electronic health record system has been used in our setting to monitor improved diabetes care for our patient population, again, one which is in a medically underserved area in a community-based family medicine teaching practice. The study design in our case is a descriptive study of the improvement of diabetes care in the years since the adoption of the electronic health record at our practice. We actually were among the earlier adopters, not necessarily by choice, but by fiat, where the hospital said we're going to roll out the ambulatory care part of the electronic health record in family medicine because you're always so cooperative and helpful and quick learners. So we were actually the first ambulatory care site to go on the EHR. And as in many settings, the rollout of the electronic health record has been a slow and steady process. It was only 6 months ago that our emergency department at New York Presbyterian got on the same electronic health record that we've been on for 3 years, and with the result that now, finally, in family medicine and the other ambulatory care sites, we're actually able to look in the same electronic chart and see what happened to our patients when they went into the ED. Our specific site where we've been working with the Eclipsis electronic health record for about 4 years now is the Farrell Health Center. And as I mentioned, it's a hospital-operated, community-based ambulatory care family practice site. We have 18 residents in family medicine who do their continuity of care experience at the family practice center, and about 10 family physician faculty also have continuity practices at that health center, including myself. For those of you who don't know New York City, we're in Manhattan. We're in the northern part of Manhattan. We're located at 158th Street, which is about 10 blocks south of the Mecca, as we might refer to the main hospital, the Milstein Hospital, which is sort of the center of the Columbia Presbyterian universe. So 10 blocks can make a big difference, and so it does. So we set out to make better use of the electronic health system than just being a big filing cabinet for recording all of our notes and vital signs and everything else. So we really wanted to be able to use the electronic health record to monitor and actually track the quality measures of patients with type 2 diabetes. Our desire to do this really was fortunate in that it coincided with the hospital's desire to get patient-centered medical home certification for the ambulatory care network, and so that we found a fairly willing partner to work with us to make the health record useful to primary care physicians in terms of tracking and looking at the diabetes quality measures over time. Interestingly enough, we also got a lot of support from our own physicians who were constantly saying, well, tell me who my diabetics are. I want to know who my panel of patients is so that I can do outreach, I can monitor what I'm doing as an individual clinician in the health center. So somewhat to our surprise, we had a lot of buy-in from our clinicians at the health center about wanting to know who their diabetic patients were and how they were doing with the management of their diabetes patients. So one thing that we found out is that the data is not in any one place. So we had to really become data miners, or breaking into the data warehouse, as I've described it. We discovered that demographic data about our patients was in the patient registration system that the hospital uses. We needed to go to the billing system that the hospital uses, Eagle, to get the ICD-9 diagnosis codes to build our diabetes database or our diabetes registry. So we ended up pulling demographic data about age, sex, and ethnicity. We, from the registration database, we ended up pulling the ICD-9 data from the billing database and used the 250.xx data to identify our diabetics. The laboratory, of course, keeps its data someplace else in the lab reporting system, so we had to go hunting to figure out where that was living so that we could look at LDL values and A1C values for our practice. And we actually were able to discover that the blood pressure and other vital signs data, while it was displayed in Eclipsis in the electronic health record, was in another sort of database, and we're able to figure out how to tap into that so we could report back to ourselves how our patients were doing in terms of their blood pressures. And lastly, since we had our providers again saying, tell me who my patients are, we had a long, several-year discussion with the hospital and the information people about what is a PCP and why does it matter and where do we keep it anyway. So we actually found that Eclipsis has a field for provider roles, and one of the roles that they had never used was primary. And so we sort of appropriated that for ourselves and started telling all of the doctors at the health center, start assigning yourself to be the patient's primary care provider so we can at least build up some information about who our patient panels were. So, in fact, we turned to our providers and said, we can't tell you who your patient panel is. Why don't you tell us? Claim your patients. So we started off where a number of groups started off from my review of the literature and some of the things I've heard going to presentations here, with about 40% of our diabetes patients actually having been claimed by anybody as their primary care physicians back in 2007 when we started this project. And we've about doubled that, going up to 2010 now, where 80% of our diabetic patients have been claimed. Unfortunately, with the record and the billing system, we don't have a good way of sort of making this mechanical. The billing system really only captures the doctor who drops the claim, which is always the attending physician and never the resident. So since we'd like our residents to be recognized as primary care physicians, we're still kind of in the claim your patients and we'll do some chart review and tell you who your patients are. But we're gradually getting ourselves to the place where an acceptable number of patients have a primary care physician assigned to them. So the diabetes quality measures we decided to look at are the usual suspects, the A1C test with poor control being defined as an A1C greater than 9 and good glycemic control being an A1C less than 7, although there's now been some debate about whether that's too tight a control, but that's what we've been using since that's what the diabetes recognition program from NCQA and the HEDIS measures look at. And we also are looking at blood pressure control to be defined as poor control of the systolic blood pressure greater than 140 or a diastolic blood pressure of greater than 90. And our LDL values, again, going with the HEDIS values and Diabetes Recognition Award, we looked at the LDL less than 100 being a measure of good control. And as I mentioned, the process measure of the documentation of the primary care physician in the EHR as one of our process measures that we want to look at over time. So, on to the results. Again, looking at the cohort of patients, we have an ever-growing diabetes registry population starting in 2007 with 462 patients in our registry. The most recently completed year, 2010, we have 633 patients in the registry. And in terms of process measures, whether our doctors are doing an A1C test to monitor how their diabetics are doing, back in 2007, about 83% had at least one A1C on the chart during that year. Of course, the quality measure would actually call for probably 2 to 4 A1Cs during the course of the year, but we're just taking a real snapshot of this. We're taking any A1C at this point. And moving forward to 2010, we now are to the point where providers are pretty routinely monitoring A1C values. And so 99% of our diabetics at least have one A1C in the chart. Looking at the total population of diabetics that we have absolutely right now, we have grown even further. We have 673 patients that we're following. 23.1% are male, 62.9% are female, so that's kind of no surprise in terms of the demographics of many primary care practices. Again, about 80-85% are Latino, and the vast majority of those are from the Dominican Republic, although we're seeing a growing number of people from Mexico and Central America in our population. The hospital predominantly accepts Medicaid and Medicare in its ambulatory care hospital practices, so our practice reflects those demographics as well. So what we did was we looked at, over time, the patients who started with us in 2007 and are still with us in 2010, and looked at the subset of those patients who had a test at the beginning and a test at the end. We've been gratified to see that our results are moving in the hoped-for direction. Our mean A1C value has declined from 8.2% down to 7.9. Our systolic blood pressures have declined from 138 down to 132, and that's a significant decline looking at a paired T test. Our diastolic blood pressures, again, a significant decline from 79 to 77, and our LDL actually crossed the line where we have most of our patients having their LDL controlled just by a hair, but the mean LDL has moved from 110 down to 99.7. So we think that we're seeing, in terms of the outcome measures, things moving in the right direction. Of course, you know, the caveat being that this is a cohort analysis and lots of other things are going on, so we're not claiming that this is all a result of the use of the EHR. The other quality measures that we've looked at, we've seen a decline in the percentage of patients, again, first and last measured values over that period of time. A1C control moving from 25.9% of the patients being poorly controlled down to 20 and change. Our good A1C control has gone up from 35.3% up to 40.2%. Our biggest jump has been the improvement in LDL control going from 43 to 59%. And we're gradually making progress on the blood pressure control, which is often the hardest for any practice. But our patients with a blood pressure of 130 systolic and 80 diastolic has moved up from 31.7 to 33.5, and that's actually a typo. Our number of people with poor blood pressure control has moved down a little bit. So in conclusion, the implementation of the EHR has allowed the practice to track our diabetes performance and measures and our outcomes, so looking at process and outcome measures. And following the implementation of the EHR system, there's been an improvement and movement in the right direction in terms of the quality of measures that we've looked at. We also are planning to do some studies in the future to examine strategies to better use the EHR to improve other aspects of diabetes care. We hope to roll eye exams, for example, into the visit once that clinic comes into the EHR. We have a little hint of how we're doing in terms of eye exams because we can peek into the billing system and see where our patients have had a claim for an eye visit, but we'd really like to see that they've really gotten a dilated retinal exam, sorry. I always do that. By actually being able to look at the note from iClinic to see what services they've gotten, hopefully not rectal exams at iClinic, as well as looking at other measures of utilization in the hospital, such as ED visits, specialty care visits, looking at our own continuity within the clinic to see whether people are seeing the same provider over time and whether that has any impact on diabetes outcomes. The EHR also has been helpful in that we have been able to have sort of the good old-fashioned flow sheet where you can, at a glance, this is decision support, look and see whether patients are due for some of the measures or referrals that come with good diabetes care. And going down that flow sheet, and I didn't bring a screenshot because it's not very pretty, but when you're sitting in the office, if you see the alert that the patient hasn't had an eye referral or hasn't had an A1C, you can just press the button and order it because it's also the computerized order entry system that we're working on at the same place. So we think we'll also be able to look across the ambulatory care sites and see whether the adoption of the EHR has been done differently in different places, whether the family medicine health center has done it differently than the non-teaching medicine pediatric practices, and also incorporating into some of the diabetes care that the patient education section is now there, so we can begin to look at that. And we can also incorporate, or we have incorporated, the PHQ 9 and PHQ2 as a integral part of the chart. So one of our next quality measures is going to be looking at whether patients are getting those depression measures done and whether that has any correlate to how they're doing with their diabetes control. So there's lots of fun to be had with this in the future, and be happy to answer any questions at the end. Thank you.